Praise be to the Lord. I'm always amazed how the Lord sets the stage for the Word of God, and He certainly did today. We're going to be talking about engaging the presence of the Lord, and we've done that already, haven't we? I want to thank Pastor Richard for allowing me to speak, first of all, and I also just want to give thanks to the Lord for a pastor who brings the Word of God faithfully every week. And I hope you understand that. I hope you realize what a blessing we have with a man of God who preaches the Word like he does, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we are the recipients of a great gift of God. And I just want to thank you, Pastor. So let's pray and go before the Lord and break His Word open. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the Spirit of the living God who is here. The presence of the living God is here, and we are able to partake. And Father, we so enjoy the presence of the Lord. Lord, we humbly bow before You right now, and we ask that You would give us a keen spiritual insight into Your Word. Help us to value the presence of God in our lives. We submit this time to Your hands, and we ask that You'd speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was wrestling with what to speak about, and I usually have an idea where God is taking me and what I should speak about. And I had a couple ideas, and they seemed like good ideas at the time. But I just did not have a witness about it in my spirit, and I just felt like I was wrestling. And Elaine would probably attest to that, because I just wasn't there yet. And it was a little frustrating, because I just wrote a book, a devotional book about hearing the Lord, called The Speaking God. And I should know what the Lord is speaking. And I'm down to my last weekend, and I'm off on Saturday and Sunday. Lord, now's the time. I'm ready, you know. And it just wasn't clicking. And so last Saturday night, I was watching the ball game, as many of us probably were. The World Series was very exciting this year. The good guys won. But I still had this in the back of my mind. I needed to hear from the Lord. I needed to know what He wanted me to share. And so I walked in my room, turned on the web stream of the IHOP prayer room, and I go to that often. It's just a 24/7 worship and praise on www.ihopkc.org. I encourage you to go there. Anyways, I entered the room, and Misty Edwards is leading a worship set, just her and the piano, and the Spirit of God just came upon me in such a powerful way. It was His presence that was so evident, and it's what I needed, and it's what my soul cries out for. It's what your spirit cries out for. Now, I've listened to the web stream many times, IHOP, and I've gathered a few that I really, really enjoy. John Thurlow is my favorite worship leader. He's on in the mornings. I listen to Leonard Jones a lot. He does a lot of instrumental music. Matter of fact, he's the violinist that I just emulate, and I love to listen to his music. But it's that instrumental worship that just draws my heart. Many times it's Elaine sitting at the piano at home, and she's in the other room, and I'm in the other room, and she's worshiping the Lord, and so am I, you know, because she is worshiping the Lord on the piano. And those times in the Lord's presence are precious, and you don't want to ever take those for granted. And so once I got in the presence of the Lord, I really felt like I knew where the Lord was taking this whole thing. And so I knew what the Lord wanted me to share. Because for me, knowing and experiencing the presence of the Lord is an absolute essential. And I really feel like I want to encourage you this morning that what we experienced in just being before the Lord for those few minutes was so valuable. And that's something that you can do at home. You don't have to wait to come to church to sing in the Spirit and enjoy the rich presence of God. You can enjoy the rich presence of God right in your own home or in your car or wherever you are. And I'll tell you what, the presence of the Lord changes the climate of a room, doesn't it? Changes everything. So if you're on looking at your notes, did y'all get a page of notes? Great. Well, number one, I'm going to go right to number one. Alone in His presence, I find perspective and peace. Now, the first two verses I came up with right away when I thought about what the Lord was giving me was, first of all, was Psalm 73. So turn with me to Psalm 73. And Asaph, who is a worship leader, he is writing this. And I'll start in verse 16. And what he's wrestling with here is the wickedness that abounds in the world. Why do wicked men prosper? This is the whole gist of Psalm 73. He says, they have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. And then he goes on in verse 13, surely in vain I have kept my heart pure. In vain I have washed my hands in innocence. And then verse 16, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. You see, I believe that whatever circumstance we are in, you know, whatever we are wrestling with, it's the same thing. We rationalize things in our own mind because things don't equate. We just can't figure it out. Why is this? What happens? We become stressed. We get uptight. But it says when Asaph got alone with God and got his perspective, it was no longer a burden to bear. Because he got God's perspective on the situation. And there's so many times where we just need to take a time out and say, God, what's your perspective? We need to get alone with God. Say, God, what's your word on this situation? Because we get ourselves worked up. We get all bothered. And the Lord wants us to find his peace and get his perspective. Hallelujah. Now, I've also found that if you want to hear from the Lord, you probably need to pull up a seat. Because God is not in a hurry, okay? God is not in a hurry. With God, it's more about relationship, okay? And he loves it when you sit before him. It's a treasure to him to worship with, or to counsel us, and to spend that time with us. Problem is, we're just not geared to sit still for very long, are we? And so that's our problem, not God's problem. The other verse that I immediately thought of was in Exodus 33, but I want to go to Psalm 139 first. It's a verse, it's a series of verses that you're very familiar with. Psalm 139 is Elaine's favorite psalm, her favorite chapter in the Psalms. And this is just something to lay the groundwork for where we're going. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, David acknowledges the presence of God. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. Night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So David acknowledges the presence of the Lord. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? We're never lost because God is everywhere. He's always near. You're never alone. Aren't you glad that God is omnipresent? He is everywhere. And David draws a good conclusion here, I believe, as well. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He equates the presence of God with the spirit of God. That's very important. Now let's go to that Exodus 33 passage. Exodus 33. This is a time where Moses, you'll remember that he was on top of the mountain, hearing from the Lord. And all the people of Israel were being ornery at the bottom of the hill. They made a golden calf, and you know that story. He has to go down and tend to it, and he has a lot of angst about it. Then in chapter 33, God talks to Moses again. And Moses is a little concerned. He tells the Lord, now, please forgive your people. And God says this leading up to 33. He says, now go lead the people, in verse 34, to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. And then in verse 2 of chapter 33, he says, I will send an angel before you to drive out the Canaanites. And it's real interesting in verse 3, he says, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. That got Moses' attention. How many of you know leading a nation cannot be easy? Moses feels caught here because he understands a holy God. and the requirements of a holy God. He also understands this is an obstinate people we're talking about. And there's such a gulf here. And he's saying, God, I need some help. And so we look down at verse 12 of chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? So this is a big deal. And we can draw something very important here, because when we follow the Lord, His peace will go with us, won't it? The peace of God is a great indicator that you are following in step with the Lord's will. I love the peace of God. That word came forth today, that the peace of God is going to lead us. And His presence has a way of quieting our soul, doesn't it? He brings peace. He settles our nerves. He neutralizes the disruptions. Have you noticed that when you get in the presence of the Lord, all that stuff just kind of goes away? I know when my hectic life needs calm and order, what I need to do is I need to get before the Lord. Matthew 6:6, Jesus is talking about when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and I will reward you. It's very powerful stuff. Moses said in verse 15, if your presence does not go with us, don't even send us. Don't even send us. In other words, if God has not authorized my agenda, if He hasn't initiated this thing from the start, then I better cut bait and get back on track. Okay? Because if I'm going to pursue something that God is not in, then I'm wasting my efforts. Okay? I'm wasting my efforts because it has no eternal value at all. My best effort, if it's not done in faith and obedience, is futile. Now, something else that Moses said here is really, really important. That's in verse 16. He said, what else will distinguish us from the rest of the world? I believe Moses had it right. It's the Holy Spirit of the living God that distinguishes you and I as a practicing believer and the unbeliever of this world. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the difference maker. It's the life and the counsel of the Spirit of God that marks us. So, number one, alone in His presence, I find perspective and peace. Number two, the presence of God gets personal. The presence of God gets personal. Now, I hope this isn't strange to you, but the activity of the Spirit of God in my life is very, very critical. I hope talking about the presence of the Lord is not strange to you. Now, when we look back in the Old Testament, the activity of the Holy Spirit was very sporadic. It happened on occasion. It did not happen every day. The Spirit of God would come upon the prophets, upon the judges, many of the leaders, the kings. But it was very sporadic. But in the New Testament, everything changed, because now it gets a lot more intense. And let's listen to what Jesus said in regards to the Holy Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 14. If you follow on the notes, you'll see where we're going each time. But I want to read John 14, and this is what Jesus is preparing His followers to understand. He says, I'm not going to be with you forever, okay? But that's okay. And He explains Himself. Let's look at verse 15 through 18 of chapter 14. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor. That word is paraclete. Another of the same kind, just like me, to be with you, not just now, but forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you. That's critical. He will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Skip over to verse 25. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Verse 29. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. Turn over to chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. See, Jesus wanted to make that very clear. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And he's not only going to come upon you, he is going to dwell within you. And that is huge. That changes everything. Now the Holy Spirit resides in every believer. And I want you to think about that. I want you to grasp that. I want you to internalize that. The Holy Spirit of God lives within me. Will you say that with me? The Holy Spirit of God lives within me. One more time. The Holy Spirit of God lives within me. That changes everything. The Holy Spirit is uniquely positioned to counsel us and to woo us and to draw us and to speak to our spirit and to influence us. That's what we want. Hallelujah. Now, we kind of know these things, but we really need to grasp onto the impact of this. It's very, very important. There's a couple other scriptures I'll just make mention of. You've probably heard them before. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives within you? 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Wow, that's good stuff. Okay, let's go to number three. Number three, the Spirit of God dwells where he is welcome and takes his job quite seriously. Now, it's been said that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he's called a gentleman because he never forces his will upon you. And it's true that the Holy Spirit wants to be welcomed. He wants to be invited. I love that song we sing, Welcome Holy Spirit. It's just a great way to open up a service and just kind of sets the stage. Holy Spirit, we honor you. We welcome you. Have your way with us. Love that song. But how many of you know that you can neglect the Holy Spirit? You can ignore the Spirit. And that's really why I wanted to share this with you today. Because mostly out of neglect or just ignorance, we don't consider, we don't think about consulting the Lord. We don't consider what the Spirit of God might desire. It's not out of rebellion. It's just we got our own agenda. We're just acting out of our own rationale. And many times we do not consider what the Lord would have us do in a given situation. So I don't think it's an abject rebellion. I just think that, you know, we think in our own terms. We think in our own strength. We think in our own rationale. And we just don't think about, God, what would you have me do? Because he's there as a counselor, as an advocate, as a comforter. These are the things I really need. Amen? Now, just as a little sideline here, and if you want to write these down, the Spirit of God can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. What does it mean to quench the Spirit? It means to throw water on the Spirit's fire. It means to minimize what the Spirit of God is doing. So the Spirit can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, the Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians 4:30, the Spirit can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29, the Spirit can be blasphemed. It's real interesting there in Mark 3:28 and 29. Jesus said, you can blaspheme my name, but don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Don't blaspheme the Spirit of the living God who draws all men to him. So I want you to understand that the Spirit of the living God who dwells within you is not going to take a back seat. He's not going to sit back passive and disinterested in your affairs of your life. He is very, very engaged. And so I want to look at two aspects here. A, the Holy Spirit repels sin. The Holy Spirit repels sin is A. And we just need to understand that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. He is holy God. And when the Spirit of the living God dwells within you, and he does, he's going to make you feel very uncomfortable about sinning. Because the Spirit of God and sin are just like oil and water. Okay? And I love this about God. He gives me a desire in my heart to please him. And so I am developing a love for what he loves. And he's given me a distaste for those things I used to enjoy that I don't enjoy anymore. In other words, I'm developing a hatred for sin. And that's a good thing. And that's all developed as you nurture a life in the Holy Spirit, as you commit your way to him. And then on top of that, he gives us the power to overcome the temptation of sin. So we win as long as we're plugged in. Amen. Now, how many of you know, when you're not plugged in, you can do lots of things on your own strength and you'll fall on your face. So that's no fun. Let's look at Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a familiar psalm to all of us, I believe. We know the life of David. He was a great king. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the shepherd who strummed his guitar and learned how to worship. He's the one who struck down Goliath because he knew the power of God. He knew who his God was. He believed in his God. But in the resume of David's life, we also understand that he faltered. And this miscue is something that we all know too well. I mean, he had this sin with Bathsheba. And when the prophet Nathan exposed the sin to David, he was grieved. He was genuinely grieved. David felt the weight of the conviction that came upon him because he sinned with Bathsheba. He tangibly felt the lifting of the presence of God. He felt that escape. And to him, it was agonizing. And we see that in Psalm 51. I want to just read verses 10 through 12. David says, "Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Renew a right spirit within me," he says. He said, renew the joy or restore the joy of your salvation because he knew the joy of the Lord. He has spent time before the Lord. It was sweet. He knew the joy of God. And he also knew when that joy was lifted and gone because he had sinned against God. He said, against you and you only have I sinned. He felt that and it was very, very agonizing. I believe the presence of God can be and should be something that is tangibly felt. You can sense it in your emotions. I don't know if I would have said that years ago, Richard, because we don't make judgments upon our emotions or based on our emotions. We make decisions based on truth. We do the right thing. But you know what? God made us an emotional creature. Did you know that? He created our mind, our emotions, and our will. And I think it's important that we can have a sense about what God's doing and saying in our lives. Now, yes, we don't base our decisions upon our feelings. But you know what? I'm thankful for those feelings. I thank the Lord for those tender times when he ministers to me. It's very real. I feel it. I love it when Lee Mitchell, when he goes to church, he comes back and goes, "Whoo, that was a good service. I could feel it. And you know what? I'll confess to you, I used to dismiss that. Because it's just about a feeling. Well, what's wrong with that? God made us an emotional creature. And you know what? I kind of like the joy of the Lord. I think he wants us to know that we're hugged and we're loved. And we're special to him. There's nothing wrong with that. He wants you to feel. Now, we don't want to feel the lifting of his presence, though, right? Just yesterday, I was reading another passage, and I'll just reference it. You can look at it later. Ezekiel 8, verse 6. God was showing Ezekiel some of the sin that was going on behind closed doors, behind the sanctuary. And it was a reference there that they had an idol of jealousy. And it drove the presence of the Lord away from the sanctuary. And it validated everything I was thinking. And so I'm not going to expound on it, but there's another one. I will show you, though, one that's very frightful. And this concerns Samson. Turn with me to Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. One of the judges who led Israel, and this was after the time of Joshua, was Samson. And he knew the Spirit of God because the Spirit of God would come upon him in demonstrations of power. And a couple of those verses you could look at is Judges 14:6, Judges 14:19, Judges 15:14. And in the passage we're looking at, we're in the episode where Delilah is trying to convince Samson to tell him his secret. And he would not tell the truth, and then they'd try to, you know, gain the upper hand on his strength, but he would always beat the bad guy. But then at one point, he did tell Delilah that in verse 17, no razor has ever been used on my head. And he gave away the secret that he had been a Nazarite set apart to God from birth. And this is the part that scares me. In verse 20, when Delilah calls on Samson, he awoke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He had not even realized that the presence of God had lifted. He was so desensitized and calloused to the things of God, he didn't even know God wasn't there. Now, I appreciate the sensitivity that Pastor Richard has in hearing the Lord and moving in the Lord. And, you know, we don't want to be about, for example, the worship. We don't want it just to be an entertainment thing for you. We don't want to dumb down a service so it's easy for you to receive. We want to hear from the Spirit of God that can change lives. Amen? We're not interested in entertaining you. We want to enter into worship. We want to entertain the living God. I would much rather have something genuine and authentic from the Spirit of God that can change my life for real than some plastic thing you get out of a book or be entertained. You know, I can listen to the radio and get that. I want something real. I want something now.
Amen.
I want a now word from the Lord. 3b, the Holy Spirit cries out for our wholehearted devotion. I'm almost done, okay? This is really important. I love this verse. It's one of the most unique verses in the Bible, in my opinion. James 4:5. I'm going to read a few verses here. He says, and he's pretty brazen. He'll tell you like it is, okay? James is very stark in his conversation here. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred toward God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Verse 5, or do you think Scripture says without reason that the Spirit He caused to live in us envies intensely? Okay, what does that mean? Another way to say that, by the way, is He yearns jealously. So the Holy Spirit is a gentleman on the one hand, but He's also described as having a holy jealousy for us. Now, I've always thought that jealousy was a bad thing. But it's not a bad thing when it's your lover you're wanting to safeguard. You see, every husband should be able to have a faithful wife. Every wife should be able to count on her husband being true. And they're not entertaining other loves or idols. You understand what I'm saying? That is a holy jealousy. He has a holy jealousy over your heart. He desires wholehearted submission to Him. That's what he designed us for. Hallelujah. So He is the hound of heaven. Okay? That's why the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the finger of God that says, not so much. We want the Spirit to steer us away from sin and temptation and the things that are going to ruin us. So it's a holy jealousy that He has for us. Now lastly, I'm just going to mention a few things. Number 4, what can I do to experience God's presence? And these are proactive things. These are intentional things. It's not a formula. More than anything, it's the state of your heart and the way you present your heart to the Lord. It's the time you give to Him. It's the atmosphere that you create that welcomes the Holy Spirit. And I would say, just to start with, is that the goal is always to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's mentioned in 2 Corinthians 13:14. Actually, the whole Trinity is mentioned in this verse. It talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we want to nurture, brothers and sisters, a fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So we learn the nuances of His language. We can hear Him. We can know His voice. We can get a sense about where we need to go in obedience. We can hear Him, we can understand, we can flow with the Spirit of God. So A, first of all, is approach with humility. Come before Him in humility, understanding that He is God. He is God. He is the Lord of all. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. And if there's anything in my life that I need to repent of right now, God, You know me too well. Forgive me for thinking that thought or doing this or offending this person. Okay, have a clear communication line there. And letter B, invite the Holy Spirit to have His way. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Say it with your mouth. Lord, come. Counsel me. Give me comfort. Speak to me. So invite the Holy Spirit. Acknowledge the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. So if you're kind of talking to yourself, it's okay. He lives within you. C, if possible, create an environment that is free from distraction. Now, what I like to do is I like to put on instrumental music. I love to listen to Leonard Jones. I listen to him constantly. I never get tired of him. Or I'll turn on the web stream and listen to worship. You have favorite music that you listen to that's uplifting. It creates a nice environment. I'm just saying that it's a good thing. And I also realize that you can't always do that. Okay, that's why I put "if possible" on your notes, because you can feel the presence of the Lord while you're working. You can feel the presence of the Lord while you're driving. Just invite Him. I've had a lot of Holy Ghost times in the car. D, pray in the Spirit, sing in the Spirit. Jude 20 talks about building up your most holy faith by praying in the Spirit. Pray in the language that you don't understand, that you've never spoken before. It is that one of the biggest blessings I can think of that God has given us to build up our faith. It's so wonderful. And you can also sing in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15 talks about this option that we have. You know, I can sing with my mind or I can sing in the Spirit. I can pray with my understanding or I can pray in the Spirit. You have that option. And so I would take advantage of that option. It builds your faith up more than you could ever know. I think just pausing to do a 30-second conversational prayer with God is so important. I believe that's what praying without ceasing is all about, because God is on your mind. And when something comes up, you just pray right now. Don't wait. Just pray right now. And we also know that we're told from Romans 8 and other places that the Spirit of God intercedes on our behalf. So we can pray and the Holy Spirit He untangles it and makes it right and sends it to the Father. I like that. Lastly would be worship. E is worship. And that's just your gratitude, that's your thanksgiving. It's speaking forth exaltation to a worthy God. Worship is ascribing worth to our God who is worthy. Amen. And we were made to worship. It's what your spirit craves. I don't know about you, but when I walk into this room and the worship is playing, doesn't it just lift you up? Doesn't it make you almost like, it's home. It's where I want to be. I want to be in that environment of worship. And brothers and sisters, we have to have personal times of worship outside of these walls. We need to develop a life in God where we can break out in song. We can break out in prayer at any moment because He likes it. He desires that. And I'm going to leave you with just another thought here. And that's found in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. You know, if we were to go to the presence of God for real. I mean, we see through a glass dimly, right? We get a portion. But if you were standing in front of Almighty God before the throne right now, what do you think that would look like? Well, with these guys, they were talking about the angels. They were talking about the four living creatures and the 24 elders. They're on their face before God. And they're worshiping. Catch this. Chapter 4, verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around. That's all weird, but even under their wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Day and night, they never stop. They never get enough because He is so worthy. 5:11, and I'll close. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Just for the next few minutes, I want us just to bow our heads for the next 5 minutes, okay? Just give God glory. Just sing to Him. This isn't weird. This is so appropriate. God, You are worthy. Lord, right now we worship You. We humble ourselves before Your mighty hand and we worship You. We adore You. We invite You to come in and have Your way. Lord of glory, have Your way. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Glory and honor and praises. We lift our voice to You. We lift our voice to You. We sing a new song, Lord. We sing a new song, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Take Your place in my heart. You ask for wholehearted love. I give it all to You. I give it all to You. I worship You in spirit. I worship You in truth. I give it all to You. I lift my hands to You. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Glory, glory. Yanamo sondo kotori abriando. Ishalamasando korianda. We love Your presence. We embrace Your presence. We love Your presence, Lord. We embrace You. We glorify lift you up, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. We lift you up, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you out. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank 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 you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you honor. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth, God. You alone are the Lord of glory. We give you the rightful place of our hearts. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the one who is worthy. Yes, God. Yes, God. We magnify your name, Lord. We magnify your name, God. Blessed is the name of the Lord. Your name is great. Your name is great. Empower your people. Empower your people, God. The Spirit of God. Spirit of grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? He treasures this time with you. He loves it when you just come with what you have. Amen.